A recent analysis of state spending by Ken Girardin of the Empire Center for Public Policy, a fiscally conservative watchdog, calculates that during the last fiscal year, more than $150 million went to so-called pork projects, which are financed by the Dormitory Authority, the state agency that seems to act as a blank check for the pet projects of Governor Andrew Cuomo and state lawmakers. Ken joins us now to discuss how the money was used, as well as why the practice is a concern to the Empire Center. Welcome back to the show, Ken.
Great to be back.
So what is the pool of money we're talking about here? Is this a dedicated fund that the legislature and governor just keep stocked every year?
Back in 2013, the legislature and the governor got together and they created what I can only describe as a credit card with a $385 million limit that they agreed privately to pass around between the lawmakers and the governor and pay for whatever kinds of projects back in their districts they thought would, you know, give them the most political benefit. Each year since 2013, the legislature has, up until the current year, added another $385 million onto this credit card. And they've continued to use it to pay for projects that I would not describe as in any way, shape, manner, or form compelling state priorities. These have been, this list of projects has been dominated by things you and I would call amenities. So a new roof at Town Hall, a new skateboard park, a new playground, a lot of stuff that, is great for the individual lawmakers to go and, you know, pose in front of with an oversized cardboard check and cut a ribbon, but not something that state taxpayers would really list among our infrastructure priorities.
So how did the state fund these types of things prior to 2013?
Well, the legislature back in the olden days, before 2010, had a program called member items. And member items would let lawmakers do something similar. That is, show up in their districts, hand out checks to nonprofit organizations or to local governments. These were smaller amounts of money, in some cases, you know, as low as $5,000. And it was, you know, it was just a little walking around money, basically, to sprinkle around the district. Those went away during the budget crunch under Governor David Patterson, not only because the state was short on cash, but also because member items kept landing state lawmakers in jail. Because you had money getting steered to nonprofits where the lawmakers themselves had a financial interest, all sorts of bad stuff. There were a lot of good reasons to not let individual lawmakers pick where projects go. So those went away, but then in 2013, the lawmakers went and created this new program called the State and Municipal Facilities Program that let them go and steer grants of $50,000 or more to different projects in their district for which they continued expanding the list of eligible entities. It started as a pretty narrowly tailored thing for local governments, but it got expanded so much that they even cooked up ways to start steering the money to private businesses. There was an outlet mall built on Staten Island that got tens of millions of dollars through this program at the governor's direction. And probably the worst part about all this is it's all borrowed money. So this isn't the state legislature and the governor getting together saying, we're going to raise this much in taxes and split it up this way. This is them saying, we're going to pay for these priorities and let future taxpayers worry about it now. So much so that, you know, when we look at the state budget now and the state's current budget crunch, the amount of debt service that we're having to pay each year is driven in no small part by 7 years of this kind of spending, going back to 2013.
What sort of vetting is there for these projects?
Well, the state has a mechanism whereby they will verify that the target entity gets the money. So they will make sure that if you are a state senator and you send money to pay for a roof on a town hall, that particular town got the money. But there's no mechanism by which we're saying what is and isn't a good use of state money. There really is no standard. It's how we end up with places that have, crumbling roads and crumbling pipes, ending up with money for skateboard parks or splash pads and water parks. I'm speaking from experience living here in the city of Albany, where we have a borderline ancient sewer system that periodically releases untreated sewage into the Hudson River. Now, that's a compelling state interest. That is something that would, by almost any standard, merit state intervention. But from the state and municipal facilities program has, instead of been, you know, fixing that, that program has been paying for over $800,000 in skateboard parks and water park renovations here in the city.
Is it a one-to-one translation, though, if, you know, the $800,000 for skate parks and water parks hadn't been spent, would that have immediately gone toward other investments in the city?
It wouldn't necessarily have, but it still goes against the state's overall ability to borrow. And when you talk about infrastructure, you're talking about borrowed dollars. So in a way, you are cannibalizing that ability to go borrow money for the more worthwhile projects.
So why should we be all up in arms, though, of projects in our community getting money? Don't we want our local lawmakers to bring back the quote-unquote bacon that they've deemed is the necessary things to spend money on?
Well, we might want our individual lawmakers to bring home the bacon for us, but we should have an issue with the other 149 assemblymen or the other 62 senators doing the same thing in their districts for their own self-aggrandizement and sticking not just us with the check, but future taxpayers. That's the most indefensible part about this. It's the fact that state lawmakers don't even have the political courage to, increase taxes enough to pay for these goodies in the short term. They're content to just kick the can down the road and hope that taxpayers, 10 to 15 years from now, don't object to having to pick up the check.
And what about the traditional partisan split of this money, with the vast majority of it going to representatives in the political majority? Is that a problem for you guys?
Well, that's one of the many indefensible parts of this program. We simply don't know how the money is split up. There's never been any kind of public document that says how much the governor will control, how much the assembly will control, how much the Senate will control, or within those chambers, how much individual members will control. We can speculate on it. And one thing that's become pretty obvious in recent months, I'm not going to single anyone out, but new freshman senators have tended to have more money to hand out in their districts. There are certain members who have, posted a lot of pictures on social media of themselves with big cardboard checks, wanting to let, local taxpayers know just how much, how much of the money they're bringing back to the district. That's the entire mechanism for this program. This isn't, this isn't designed to meet compelling, urgent needs. This thing is wired first and foremost to help incumbents remain incumbents.
So some of the 590 projects you've identified include $2.9 million for community theater construction projects, $1.9 million for signage improvements at the Bronx Children's Museum, $1 million for exhibits at the Italian American Museum in Queens. How should these types of things be funded if the state does decide it wants to get in the business of supporting these causes?
Well, even if taxpayers should be funding these sorts of programs, and it's a very dramatic if, there are other ways that we could be doing it through a competitive process or a process where we, where we assess the actual need in the area. And again, weigh the, the level of state interest that's there. For a lot of these things, these are projects that local taxpayers could and should be the ones paying for. If you have a leaky roof in your town hall, and every town has a town hall with a roof, there's already a mechanism for collecting money to fix that roof. When you start getting into amenities and stuff that the communities wouldn't be buying for themselves otherwise, you really have to scratch your head and ask whether the state should be involved here in the first place.
For people who want to learn more about this project, you guys have detailed a lot of the spending over recent years. How can people find that work you've done?
We've posted all of these grants at seethroughny.net. That's our government transparency website. We post payrolls, pensions, government grants, all sorts of information about how money is spent.
We've been speaking with Ken Girardin of the Empire Center for Public Policy. Ken, thank you so much for making the time.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.